Everybody is in some tough relationships, and everybody has hope, according to Karen Loritz.
And I don't know what your issue is, whether it's with your husband, your children, you just see no hope. Can you believe me? That there is hope. If God can save a little black girl from the streets of Philadelphia, a woman that was involved in ministry, that had an emotional meltdown, and he still loves me, what is it that he can't do?
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, March 27th. Last fall, thousands of women from all over the globe converged to launch the True Woman Movement. Throughout 2009, we'll be reviewing messages from the True Woman Conference. Yesterday, Karen Loritz shared very openly about the temptation to fear. She was involved in ministry, yet having what she called an emotional meltdown. Nancy Lee DeMoss will join us later, but first, find out why Karen still has hope as we hear part two of her message.
For many years, I was a bitter and angry woman. Now, verbally, I wasn't angry, but bitterly, I was. And I was really bitter towards my mom. My mom did a bad job. She could not give me what she did not have, but I could not forgive her. And I remember we had moved down from Pennsylvania to Texas to be involved in church planning. And I was sitting there just going, hashing through all the trash that had been involved in my life growing up and why my mother didn't raise me this way, why I'm struggling so hard as a believer to really grasp this thing about love, making that good commitment to God. How come I wasn't feeling the presence of God in my life? And I knew that it was because I was harboring bitterness and anger towards my mom. So I sat down and wrote my mom a letter to let her know that I loved her. She knew that I was a Christian, but she never heard from me how much I loved her in spite of who I was. Not condemning her, but putting it back on myself. And I remember saying, "I just love you, Mom." My mother never responded to that letter. I saw her like a week after that letter, and she never hugged me or thanked me, but I knew that she saw because I saw it open on her dresser. And that was okay, because I had a burying party. 1 John 1:9 says, when you cleanse your hand, 1 John 1:9, you do two things. You confess it, specifically tell God, "God, I am angry and bitter with my mom and how she raised me." But then repentance means I had to turn my back on what I thought was my right to be bitter and walk away from that. And that, ladies, was freedom. But I had to forgive my mom. I had to release her so that I can just look her in the eye and tell her with a clean heart that I loved her. It was as though someone had opened a prison door and let me walk out. 1 John 1:9, when it says here in James that cleanse your hands, do business about your sin. Name it. But it also says to purify your hearts. I take that to mean our attitudes. It says in the Psalms, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. We have to have the right motives. Holiness of heart and mind and thought and emotions. The inside me need to tell the story on the how the outside looks. So cleanse your hands, do business about your sin, and purify your hearts with an attitude. And last but not least, in verse 10, it says, humble yourselves. Humility was not a big thing for me. Like I said, I had a lot of pride, but it's something when God gets your attention. And during my emotional meltdown time, I was getting through October, I was coming up in the month of November, and the month of November is my birthday month, and I always go and have all those tests that you need to have. You know? The OB guy, the GP guy, all these letters and things like that. And I went to my OBGYN guy, my little fibroid tumor was staying, you know, wasn't growing too much. I was cleared for that. Then I had to go to my mammogram. My mammogram. You know what I mean? Time to get that old mammogram. And I went, and for the first time, I always get it year by year, I got a call back. He said, "Miss Laritz, you need to come in because we need to check your mammogram. Something showed up." And wouldn't you know it, they couldn't fill me in for 3 weeks. So my little fear buddies surrounded me and distort reality. That first one I talked about was doing a number on me. And so I was trying to be good. I says, "No, I'm not going to fear. It was just a misunderstanding with the mammogram." And so I prayed through that. Then I went to my GB guy, general practitioner. And of all the things, he told me I needed to lose weight, that my cholesterol was going out the roof, and I watched my blood pressure. So now I'm walking around the mall. I become a mall walker, and I thought I had at least 10 more years to join the other ladies. And I'm walking in the mall, and I'm crying. Says, "God, what's happening?" I'm having an emotional meltdown in October, now a physical breakdown in November. Can I get through this year? So God had my attention. And it's with me, I don't know about you, but with me, it seems as though when crises come in my life, those challenges, is always like a buffet. It's never like, here's one little thing you have to worry about. It's always a buffet of stuff. And God got my attention. He got my attention. Well, just to clear up, the mammogram was fine. I'm still walking the malls. Genetics. But God, He brought me through that because my fear was trying to victimize me. And I thought that I was just reaching the top of the mountain, you know, and I was almost through, and November came. God is an incredible God. And the only one that I could talk to, not my girlfriends, I don't want to bore Crawford with that because I don't want to fix anything. I had to fix it. Stop listening to yourself. Start talking to yourself. I don't know what you have to do, but I had to go in my bathroom and look in the mirror. And say, "Karen, you know what? You're a wimp. Been doing a lot of whining, a lot of lying, because you're telling everybody else in these conferences all the great things about God, and look at your life." I had a good talking with myself. And so I says, "God, I surrender. I don't know what to do, but I know that you know, and you know what to do. You do it, God." God got my attention. Well, everything checked out. My body was okay. The little fibroid's still there. We've still been working on a little fibroid. But I want to tell you that I just love what Dr. Piper said. Wimpy theology makes you a wimpy woman. This is the only thing that makes sense. This is the only thing that makes sense. God is a God that loves us. And I don't know what your issue is, whether it's with your husband, your children, your family, or like with my mother, and you just see no hope. Can you believe me? That there is hope. If God can save a little black girl, from the streets of Philadelphia, from public housing, a woman that was involved in ministry, that had an emotional meltdown, and He still loves me, what is it that He can't do? What is it? There's nothing our God can't do. Let me close with this. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses is dead. Big Moses, he's gone. So God has to talk to the new man in charge, and he tells Joshua, Joshua, and of all things I want to say, I want to say three things to you. This is Karen paraphrase. Three things I want to say to you, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble. Don't be dismayed, because God is with you. And I don't know about you. Get your hands up. God, I surrender to you. Ladies, we have to be strong. We have to be courageous. Stop listening to yourself. Talk to yourself. Talk to God. Let's pray. God, you are a God that's incredible. You are the only one that can help us to be strong and courageous. But God, we have to do our part. We have to stop listening to the junk. We have to talk to ourselves about the God that we know. Father, you called us to submit to you and with humble hearts humble ourselves under your mighty care. Lord, I pray this for us, my sisters here. Lord, that whatever buffet of stuff that they may have to go through, may they not crumble under the weight of anything but the word of God, because you're a good father. We won't embarrass you. We won't embarrass our families. We won't embarrass ourselves, because we're going to believe you for who you are. Give us a resolve to believe. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
That's Karen Loritz, helping each of us resolve to believe God in the face of fear and temptation. She delivered that message at True Woman 08, the conference in the Chicago area last fall. We'll send you that message on CD or DVD when you donate any amount at reviveourheartsradio.com. Karen's message was followed at True Woman 08 by another story that had a big impact. Let's listen to the story of Lorna Wilkinson.
The first 11 years of my marriage after Pascal and I were married were wonderful years, you know, that we experienced loving each other, having the children, sharing them, enjoying them. And after then, something went wrong. My husband started drinking very heavily and became an alcoholic. I started displaying my anger and bitterness in that relationship by withholding. I grew bitter and frustrated and in a sense wanted to lash back. We had one vehicle that we used to work, and he would frequently drop me off. And many, many times my husband did not come to pick me up. I was just there. And I had no place to go. You know, my children were at home alone, and I would just walk to the closest hotel that was available to me and spend the night there. I thought that the answer to my problems was divorce of my husband. I asked my husband to leave. When he left, we had one vehicle that we were using. And at that point, there was a need for a second vehicle for one of us. So I purchased a vehicle from a friend. And when I picked up the vehicle that evening, the dial was set on a Christian radio. Normally, I do not listen to Christian radio, but for some reason unknown to me at that time, I reached over to turn off the dial, and my hands just could not make it there. The next morning, going to work, Nancy Lee DeMoss came on. Her program spoke of forgiveness, total forgiveness, and submission to your husband in a family. That really touched my heart. I could not stop thinking about that all day long. Divorce at that point was apparent to me was not the answer, but God was. After I asked my husband to leave, he left. One night he called and said he was very sick. And I asked him, why don't you call 911? So in God's wisdom, he did. And I later learned that at that time, when he had called me, he had a heart attack. He had ended up in the hospital. After that happened, God had already touched my life in such a tremendous way that it could never be the same. And the Holy Spirit asked me to just go and speak to him and let him know that he should come home and that I loved him. After I forgave Pascal and asked him to forgive me, it's as though a total change occurred in our relationship. Pascal no longer had a need for drinking. Pascal became the type of husband that God wanted him to be. You know, we had many candlelight dinners together. You know, there was many sweet cards expressing his love and admiration and friendship together. It was a total and complete change in our relationship. On a Tuesday morning around 4 a.m., my husband woke me up and he said, Lorna, I just want to let you know that a man should love his wife with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. And I want you to know at this time that I love you that way. Around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I was called at work and told that I needed to get home. When I got home, my son was at the door, and he said, Mom, the ambulance just took Dad, and I think we've lost him. I said, you know, Lord, when I prayed on Sunday, I asked you for healing, but you have gone one step further. You have given Pascal not just healing on earth, but eternally healing, life with you. I did not know that when God restored our marriage, that we only had 4 months together. The children remember those 4 months of their lives.
It was actually like a loving marriage, you know, like the kind you'd see on TV or something, you know. And I was able to experience something like that, even if it was for a brief period. I now know what it's like, you know. When my mom offered my dad the forgiveness, you know, unconditionally, and we all saw that, I was able to release a lot of the, you know, things that I had to.
When we forgive, we release that burden. You have a victory. You have a freedom. You're loose. You know, and you're not anxious and frustrated, you know, because that burden is gone. And that's, you know, God speaks of that forgiveness. And once you forgive, you're free. You're free to serve God. You're free to really and truly be who God intends for you to be.
God has used each speaker that we've heard, but over this last hour, Karen and her message, and then Lorna's testimony. I just believe there are many women in this room whose hearts have been exposed. Your heart's been beating fast because you know the Spirit is speaking to you. We've talked about fear. And it may be that as you've come into this place, your heart is gripped with fear. It may have to do with a season of life that you're facing or dreading, a circumstance that you're reacting to. And you're living with those fear buddies. And they're gripping you. And God wants to set you free from that fear. But Karen told us that the first step is humbling ourselves. Not calling it something other than what it is. Dealing with the pride. with the resistance, with the rebel heart, and saying, Lord, I lay down these fears. I'm not going to let this control my life any longer. I'm not going to let Satan continue to have a heyday in my mind and in my emotions and in my relationships. We've heard this morning about bitterness and anger, and sometimes it comes out, it's expressed verbally, and sometimes it's just those seeds of resentment buried in the heart. Maybe there are walls between you and another person in this room, or someone at home, your husband, a prodigal. We've prayed for the prodigals this morning, and maybe God's found you out. It's not only your son or daughter who's the prodigal, but you've been a prodigal mom. You say, what do you mean? I'm not the one acting out. But you're the one who's been angry. Maybe in your marriage. I would be surprised if there were not a huge number of marriages represented in this room. That behind the four walls of your home, though no one else may know about this, there is tension, there's anger, there's resentment, there are cruel, harsh words, and you are contemplating getting out of that marriage, or you wish you could. You've been hurt. And that woundedness, instead of taking it to the cross, it's turned into bitterness, anger, and ultimately resentment against God. And maybe you didn't know when you came here that God was going to make this really personal for you. But that's exactly what He's doing. This counter-cultural revolution begins with the household of faith. The time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And ladies, God has called us so clearly this morning from the book of James to humble ourselves, to resist the devil, to have clean hands and pure hearts. How can we hope that our husbands and kids and fellow church members and those around us will get right with God if we're holding on to things that are displeasing to the Lord? And so Keith is going to play for us for these next few moments, and we're not going to hurry. And I want to invite you in these next few moments to say yes to the Lord, and then to take some step, some visible, physical step, if the Lord puts this on your heart, to express that you are humbling yourself before the Lord and you are agreeing with Him about something He has shown you over these last moments.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss speaking at True Woman 08, the National Conference for Women held last October in the Chicago area. Many women experienced freedom from fear and bitterness that night. This is a powerful message that we want you to have. The temptation to be bitter and to fall victim to fear will not go away. You need to remember these messages, and when you make a donation of any size to Revive Our Hearts, we'll send the message we heard today from Karen Loritz as our way of saying thanks. You can choose audio CD or DVD. Watching this with the women you know would be a great way to pass the message on to them. Donate any amount at reviveourheartsradio.com. That's reviveourheartsradio.com. Or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. The women who gathered last fall to hear these messages signed an historic document, the True Woman Manifesto. You can read this important document online, sign it, and be part of the True Woman movement. Just visit truewoman.com. Well, we've been returning to the story of Joshua over the last few months, looking at the struggles he faced. We'll hear about a great victory this leader won when we pick his story back up starting Monday. Please be here for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.